Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Know his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Outside Matthew chapter number caffeine, because there was a major emphasis on Matthew chapter number 13 in the morning. I'd like for us to proceed from there, also making a reference to that scripture in the book of Luke, where our father, my elder, spoke from by the Spirit in the morning. That is the book of Luke chapter number 4. Verse 5. And you know, this is an encounter with the enemy. The enemy is so smart. In the encounter, a whole weekend, we looked at the encounter of the adversary with Jesus. And most of the things we saw were appeals. Appeals. Why am I making a reference to this? If you have not actually found value, you can get other appeals. Value is so important. God has not really shown you the what. The what of the kingdom. There will be other appeals. Other appeals can begin to move you into lesser transactions. I call it lesser transactions. Other appeals. So what we saw in the book of Luke chapter 4, that Satan was doing with our Lord was so much of appeals. And those appeals are so deceitful. So when you have a perception of value, you also have to have an accurate perception of ownership. Am I communicating this evening? So they took him, the verse 5, and the devil taking him up into an high mountain. Keyboard, you can give me some time. I'll tell you when to come in. And the devil taking him up into an high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world. All the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Alright, so we are back to perception. See, the reality of perception is not in the physical. So when he was showing Jesus the kingdoms of this world, the kingdom of this world in geographical experience is so vast that you can't capture it in the moment of time. But the mind of man is such a complex system that it can summarize a generation in a moment. Such a complex system, the mind of a man. The mind of a man can travel to where it's never been before. The mind of a man can have a perception of a system that he has not even physically touched. So you can be here and go in your dream and find yourself in the U.S. Has it ever happened to you before? How many of you have traveled in your dream before? And you knew you were in London. That's the mind of a man. It's so powerful. The mind of a man is so complex. The mind of a man can hold what he doesn't have physically. How many of you have seen a girl and you just thought that it was your girlfriend? And you don't have any dealing with the girl. And you were planning the day you just marry her. People call it illusion, but such a complex system in the mind of a man. And sometimes in this realm, there are certain realities there that can be so real to the extent that it can take over the mind of a man, and the man will not be under control of himself again. He said, "Yes, I saw it now. I saw it." Then he said, "This guy is mad because his mind has gone haywire." So, what actually happened to Jesus was not a physical assessment of the kingdoms of the world. It was a thing that was going on inside. So perception is greater on the inside than on the outside. That's why when Jesus came, in Luke 17, he said, the kingdom is within you. The reality of all that God wants to give you is seated somewhere. What is the place called? Your consciousness. The seat of power, the seat of government, the seat of reality is your consciousness. So I often say to people, you don't own anything except it is seated in the utmost part of your consciousness that we call the subconscious. That's all you really own. That's all you really own. If you don't own it, except it begins to operate in your reef, in your involuntary actions. You don't own it. The reason why that is gently seated here without any concern is that there is a common knowledge on the inside of him that this kind of seat will hold a person sitting without falling. But if you are coming and you met a miracle seat that has just one stand, that is the way you will sit. They told you it will hold you, but you don't have a reference in your consciousness. So you will sit first. Even when you sit, you don't sit with all your mind away from it. Because you are on the guard. In case this is their miracle seat, it's going to take me to tumble. I will quickly hold myself. Alright? So your real investment in knowledge is in your subconscious. It's in your subconscious. That's why you know the scripture so much about healing. But when you are sick, the first thing you do is to get tablets. Because common sense rules you. If your knowledge alters your common sense, it has become truth. It will give you freedom. So the mind of man is such a complex system that when the enemy really wanted to engage him, he doesn't have to appear physically. He has to give him appeal from his inward consciousness. And he took him and showed him all the kingdoms of this world. The mountain he took him to is called the mountain of imagination. That's the highest mountain a man can climb. And when he showed him the deception and mixed with some facts was that he began to give him an appeal for a transaction. You see, nothing happens ordinarily. It's always give and take. And the enemy knows that. So when he saw Jesus, he said to him, in verse 5 of Luke chapter number 4, he said unto him, the devil taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, just a very brief period, he could see the glories of the palace and the, you know, the wealth of the Asian nations and the Arab and the great glories of the United States of America and all of it summarized in a moment of time. And he said unto him, all this power will I give thee. And you listen to me, even in the other side, it is also kingdom, power, and glory. It is also kingdom, power, and glory. So anytime kingdom is perceived, power manifests. So immediately showed them the kingdoms of this world. He said unto him, all this power will I give thee, can you see the order? And the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and you see, and to whomsoever I will. I want you to note some words. The will is a tool of negotiation. Whomsoever I will, I give it. But has been delivered unto me. Who delivered unto me? Let me tell you something. Instant kingdom is perceived. Authority must be ascertained. Oh, I don't know if I'm given the liberty to teach freely. Instant kingdom is perceived. Authority must be ascertained. Because the real expression of the kingdom right now is no longer by geography. Alright? It's by reign. It's by rulership. It's by government. So there is a key factor in perceiving the kingdom. It's not power. It's not dunamai. It is authority. So what the enemy was trying to usurp, what he was trying to say in this place, is to tell them that I have the authority to give the wealth and the riches of the kingdom that you perceive here. It has been delivered unto me. And if you believe him that he has such, you will have no option than to begin to negotiate based on his demand. And do you know today, the enemy still makes the same brand. Everything the Satan can do is in the class of three. And the three was exactly what he did with Jesus. And it was recorded for us to know so that we are not ignorant of the schemes of the enemy. The class, the only thing the enemy can come out with is in these three classes. Turn the stone to bread. That's the appeal to the flesh. Then he took him to an high mountain and he said, see, all this has been delivered unto me. That's the highest level of deception. The deception about true ownership. It's a deception. The fact that the scripture says he's become the God of this world is not talking about him having the whole world. He's the God of this world. He's talking about a system that he has crafted with which he rules the world. The system. But the earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof, the world and all that is in it. You must understand ownership. So Jesus had to tell him. See the Jesus' reply. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And him only shall thou serve. Listen to me. Now what Jesus was telling him was not a real debate, but to tell him a position of ownership. The first thing he told him was that I am meant to worship the Lord. Oh, that will take me time. Because the Lord is the symbol of total ownership. The one that is in charge of everything. So he was simply telling Satan, I know who is the Lord. God is the Lord. He's the one that is in charge, not you. And he's the one I am meant to trade with. He's the one I'm meant to worship. You see, it's in the basis of your understanding of who has it. You give consent and you open up the transaction. If at any time the enemy is able to convince you that he has the kingdom, the power, and the glory, then you are going to be open to transaction. Oh, God help me. You see, what actually makes us to live above the schemes of the enemy is our correct perception of the kingdom. Are we still together? Let me take you to a scripture. In the book of Matthew. Oh, you see, the basis of your communion, the basis of your fellowship, the basis of your victory, the basis of your worship. Worship, you know, in this context, it is worship that Satan demands, because he knows that the highest level of transaction on earth is worship. That's the highest. So, but we understand this. In Matthew chapter number 6, when he was teaching us prayer, in verse 13, give me verse 13, Matthew chapter number 6. Oh, one of the most inspiring scripture of understanding kingdom and the purposes of God in spiritual worship is chapter 6 of Matthew. Chapter 6 of Matthew is so key. If you want to really update your spiritual standing, you must understand chapter 6 of Matthew, declared by Jesus from the verse 1 to the end. Okay, in verse 13, this is the end of the prayer. This is how to pray that was teaching disciples. It has said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That was how he escaped temptation. How did he escape temptation? How was he delivered? For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. He understands who owns it. That's why he was delivered. Oh, you don't get it. You can't negotiate me on power again. You can't negotiate me on glory again. I know who owns it. I'm a trustee, even if he's in my life. I'm just a trustee. At every quarter, kingdom, power, glory belongs to him. The only way to escape, deliver us from evil. For. Oh my God. The reason why you are still tempted to give worship to the other side, it's because you are not sure. Oh, my prayer is battered on realization. Oh, my God. Worship. Worship is battered on a realization. I think it's in First Chronicles. First Chronicles, I think, chapter number 26. I need a scripture from David. That will give me a very good description of what I'm trying. Find me that scripture. When David was making available offerings of worship for the temple. Bible student, is it 29? Okay, find the place where David began to give praise to God. For he said, thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory. Oh my God, please. Verse 11? Okay. I need it clearly. Maybe we'll come from verse 10. Let's come from verse 10. Look at David. See, your worship is a product of your perception, your realization. If you are not fully realized, it will be difficult to transact. 29:10. Don't take me away from where I'm going. Okay. The same thing Jesus said. You see that was the realization of David that made him a great worshiper. That made him a man after God's heart. He has come to realize. The kingdom of God is like a field wherein is hid treasures. And when a man found it, that's realization. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Bless thou, Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. When you come to realization, when people say you are great, you say it is easy. I showed you yesterday how the 24 elders who have inherited crowns for years, whenever they see God, they give it to him because he holds it. Any creation is just a steward. He created it for his pleasure. So if he hangs glory on you, it is for his pleasure. If you make a mistake at any point, you are out. So even the creatures of his presence, 24 elders, each time they behold him, they take their crowns down. The only reason you have the crown is to recognize him. If you have not found this, worship is not possible. So the great David said, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory. All of this David has seen, but he knew he didn't own it. May you begin to live with a sense of stewardship. That at any level of victory you see, you know this is what God just wants to hand from your life. The greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. This is not vain eulogizing. I know some of you can eulogize God without realization. You are just doing like Soniade. God can't be moved like the entertainers move people. One day I was somewhere. The guy said he must collect money from my pocket. I said I won't stand up. Then he got to a point and said, Loworiyo, kotayo, payo, 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 payo. Then my wife said, pity him. He's shouting to me. I said, if you shout payo from now to next year, I remain here. Glorio, kotayo, tayo, 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 tayo. All these band members, they started tayo, 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 tayo. And they switch to somebody else. Allah Korilili. Now you know, he's just trying to woo me. He's not praising. Praises come from realization and understanding. You know that you know. Because he always causes us to triumph. And thereby causes the servant of his knowledge to lose out. Oruko ti e ko lo nilo oruko re lo fe lo oruko ta ni o jebi. bi to ba jade oruko re lo nilo bi ki se oruko ti re. He said, dine. Say with me, dine. Oh, may God bring you to this place where you just know that even if they give you accolades, you know who owns it. They've not really had anything. I just tried to do introduction. They now said I spoke. Let me tell you something. A fallen man wants credit. He wants glory. But he doesn't own it. The sin is actually departure from glory, not blessing. Man has sinned and come short of glory. Now, I'm not finished with David, because I'm looking for one gradient where God can begin to give you personal conversations where you are sitting, beyond the preacher, where you can begin to come into some certain transactions. Because God does not speak just for speaking's sake. He will bring you to a standpoint where you have to trade and transact. For thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Verse 12. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Verse 12. I didn't know. I just remembered the scripture. Verse 12. But riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might. In thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. And verse. Now therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious. You know where praise is coming from? See the heart that praise is coming from? It's the heart of realization. You know, the reason why you don't praise is because you have not realized. There is nobody that comes through revelations of God without praising him. Nobody. You have not seen God. You have not seen him. But you see him. When you see him, you come to realization. Even a prophet of good standing saw him, Isaiah, and in chapter 6, he said, I'm undone. There is nothing that kills self like seeing God. When you see something that reduces you to nothing, you come to terms with reality. Nothing. Nothing. If you are begging a man not to be proud again, don't worry, let him see God. Let him see God. This is where the praise of David was coming from a realization. It came from a realization that everything is his. It was on that standpoint that Jesus overcame temptation. It's on realization. They can't transact with you. If you know they don't own it. Recently, I was asked to go somewhere and make some appeal for a political appointment. I said, me. No, it's not pride. Police fool me. Any Lord of Allah, they will live for me. The person I know, he holds the key to everything. Except the one he doesn't want to give me. Revelations of him. Perception of him. He gives you a good, accurate understanding of the kingdom. The kingdom. And what then? What is the expression of that which we call kingdom? something very big. What then? How can I say I have a total hold of the kingdom? How can I say this is the kingdom? What was he saying? When he said the kingdom is within you. And you know, I told you in the morning that the kingdom is the expression of his what? His authority, his government. Two words those days, two words that I love so much that I think it was that the boy that was describing kingdom to us when he came to Akure some time ago. And he used two words, and I loved it so much. And he said, kingdom is a combination of two words, king and domain. King's domain. And that's very accurate. But the expression of the kingdom today is more than a geographical domain. It's not geographical domain. It's more centered on his kingship. Oh, it's centered on what? His kingship, his authority. His influence. His will. Somebody say with me, his will. His will. So when he was talking, when he was teaching us to pray, the first thing he asked us to do was to ask for kingdom. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first declaration our hearts should make when we interface him in prayer is thy kingdom come. And how does it come? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why when Jesus came, he always described the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. So somebody asked me in a class someday, he said, so what's the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God on earth? And I said, it's simple. The expression of the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God on earth. What is the expression of the kingdom of God in heaven on earth? Thy will be done on earth. So the tangible expression of the kingdom at any space, first unit, one human life, is his will be done. The reason why he instituted the law in the midst of a nation of covenant is his will be done. And he said, I am no longer going to bring the kingdom fire commandments of a national obedience. I am bringing the kingdom now via commandment of individual obedience. That's where God is today. It's no longer national covenant. As I said to you in the morning, it's now what? Personal. So it's now any man, if any man, that whosoever. Those are the words he used. For whosoever believeth in him, shall not perish. And if any man will follow me. And he will use a word like the one he used with Nicodemus, except a man. Say with me, it's no longer national covenant. It's now personalized. The kingdom is within you. Yaba roba hasia. The kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within you. What's the expression? You are hungry for his will. You're hungry for what? For his will. Why are you hungry for his will? You know that he owns everything. You know you are just a design that is to fulfill that will. So if that's what I'm designed for anyway, that's what I should be hungry for. For he's made all things for his will, for his pleasure. For his pleasure. So, what's the transaction? Matthew 13, 44. A man found a field with treasure hid, and immediately saw the treasure. He went, sold all that he had. He bought the field. I asked God, fish. And he said, all a man has to sell is his will. That's the currency for trade. Am I talking to someone? The currency you trade with is your will for the kingdom. But I'm saying your will for his will. Sell all that he has. That's why the only thing a man leaves behind with all that he acquires is what? His will. Have you been to a funeral and they were reading the houses the man built? That we want to thank God for our, the life of our faithful who has departed. He actually has a 3-story in the Arts of Kent in London. He has a factory in Lekki, Nigeria. Have you ever been to such a funeral before? People will just walk out. Because when a man dies, those ephemerals just disappear. You don't even talk about, when a man is gone, what is left is his will. Even if you don't have any property to write on your will, they will still respect your will if all you say is that don't bury me in Akureo. Because what really controls your life when you are living was your will. That's why legally, that's what is respected. Hear me? The only trade currency for kingdom transaction is your will for his will. That's what you said. That's what you said. That's what you said. There are things you have not come into because you have not put your will aside. Some of us think we're in the kingdom. We are not yet in because we have not started transaction. You still want to own it. You can't own it with God. You must come to die it for the kingdom to be resident. At that level, there is nothing he can commit to you because he knows you will still own it. Oh my God, you don't get it. I say at that level, there is nothing he cannot commit to you. Why? Because he knows that he still owns it. Because you have traded your will for his will. So, riches. Glory. And you see, when I'm talking about riches, let me delve a bit into riches. When I'm talking about the riches of God's kingdom, it's based on value. It's based on value. It's based on, oh my God. It's based on your perception. Value. Oh. You see, things that by the time you touch the what of what you touch surpasses any other thing that you have ever touched. On the table, I go away. One day, I went to a senior friend who knows about those things. So I got into his house and we're just joking. He looked at me and said, Pastor, she passed on knowledge in Shisha. I said that if one will go, Ejo, Pastor, to you, in Lagbara, deal. I go tell why you are not to tell me of Jehovah. You don't know. Okay, let me take you to Google. Then he began to open Google for me. When I got home, I quietly removed it. I now look for a small cupboard. What do we call that? Your sense of value. That's why God does not want to give treasurable things to swine. How did he use it? How did he use the word? He said, don't cast it to your precious pearl. You see, it's until your eyes open, there are things God can't commit to you. Don't cast your precious pearl to swine. Who said it? Until your sense of value open, there are things you won't undo. There are things, there are kingdom dimensions that will not open to you until you have certain levels of perception. Even levels of treasures of power. Because you see, somebody was asking me, why is it that there is so much level of low performance when it comes to authority and power in the kingdom? I said it is realization. There are things we have not truly come to terms with. You see, these people that are using magical powers and they are causing trouble all over, that you commit real power to. On somebody that just promoted to undo preaching. And he said, why are you greeting me like that? Why is that brother greeting me like that? One little girl called me sometime. He said, Daddy, they humiliated me. I said, what happened? He said, I got to the conference. They put me at the back. They didn't bring me to the minister's seat. Over to in the last day of the feast, Jesus came from the back. His brother already told him, he said, Lobe, that's his own family member. Jesus said, your own time is always here. My time has not come. Before the feast was over, the Lord prompted him. He joined the crowd. Before you knew him, he was in front. And he was calling, if any of you thirst, let him come. Those who have the real thing don't make noise. They don't make noise. They are not even afraid. They are not threatened. They are not threatened by another person's being anointed. When God begins to open our eyes, there are things he will begin to deliver to us. We come to realizations that we have nothing. The best that God gives to you is for fellowship. 1 John chapter number 1. The things that we have heard and we have seen that our hands have handled of the word of life. And he said, these things will bring unto you that you may have fellowship with us. The what fellowship is not clapping hands together. The word fellowship is what? Sharing. Joint ownership. So, if there is anything, reason, God put anything in me, it's because he has an interest of bringing it to others. It's not just for me to have an exclusive position of praise where I will be the babake that you are waiting to come and see to do the impartation of the prophetic. If there is any reason why there is something in me, it's because it's meant to be with many. Because I don't really hold it. So I'm not afraid of it becoming many. Yeah, don't you need somebody for things you. Wani frequency were concentrated. I want to say deeper. That's not kingdom sense. May the Lord open our eyes. Are you getting anything tonight? Give me a second. Give me Colossians. Let me close with this. I want to be able to give you time to pray. And if possible, pray with some of you. Amen. Colossians chapter number 2. If you miss the next 15-20 minutes, you may not be doing yourself some good. I just sense a release. Anything can happen in the next 15-20 minutes that is going to be practical release of the power of the Spirit. Of the power of the Spirit to get things done. Just in a moment, things will happen. There will be experiences of confirmations of the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God. Yes, you are the Lord, Most High. Yes, you are the Lord. Just get patient and be sensitive and just join me. Aya Bahara Bohasia Bali. Kosabanan Yakopara Bali. Give me Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Aya Borabi Lahasia Robanan Yakosi. Give me verse 2. Woo. That their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love. Their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. There is a riches that is called, or that is in the full assurance of understanding. Riches open up to understanding. Oh, Jesus told them, he said, if you are faithful in unrighteous moment, that's the peak of human riches. He said, I'll give you true riches. Because this thing we call exchange is practically demonstrated in certain tools. The test of your exchange, of your will for God's will, one of the major tests is through Mammon. Nothing controls your will like Mammon. If God can control your Mammon, He can control your will. I tell people, if you don't want to really know the direction of your life, what are the things you think about when money comes to your hand? It shows whether he's enthroned or you are enthroned. So Jesus has to come to that. He said, if you are, see, whenever I call one of my friends and I hear him talking from an hotel in Dubai or an hotel in Paris, I know he just made money. I'm telling you. I said, hello, Bawo, Bolowa, Ahali, Parawayo. He's a lover of pleasure. He knows all the nice places in this world. It's not bad. But if you see said, Lord, so what is it? It's difficult for God to control your money. Church, it's very difficult. Because your money is your life. When the widow gave small money, how much? Mite. Two mites. God, Jesus said, she gave all her living. Hey! So, when they summarize her living to in financial terms, it was two mites. That's in economic terms, we call it in worth. Your worth. Oh, you don't understand that language now because you have not started making money. Even the one they sent to you from home, it has a way of changing your mood. Nothing changes a man's mood like money. Even if you are sick, when money comes, hope will land. Nothing hooks you like money. So Jesus wanted to use a standard measure. So he said, if you are faithful with unrighteous mammon. Unrighteous mammon is simply money. He said, I will give you true riches. So I asked God, what is true riches? He said, that which money cannot buy. So he said, if you are faithful in unrighteous mammon, I will give you true riches. See, God has your will. You have the kingdom. Fear not, little children. For it is what? Your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. These are the keys. To give you the kingdom. I've told you, when you see the kingdom, you find an expression of power and glory. The glory won't sit until you transact. The only way for the glory to sit is for you to give up your will for his will. You will come to true riches. You come to the full assurance of the riches. The riches of the full assurance of understanding, like Colossians chapter number 2 puts it. Colossians chapter number 2 and verse 2. All riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. And of the Father. And of Christ. Now, the mystery of God. Let me quickly tell you that one so that you don't get confused. The mystery of God is the Father and Christ. It's not Father. It's not God, Father, Christ. God, God is a mystery. You see, the reason why you don't understand these writings is because it's not written in your time. Some of the things that were heavy mysteries then are no longer mysteries. In fact, they are the foundations of your Christian experience. Now, the mystery of God then was the fact that they didn't even know who the Christ was. And that it was not Father then. Should I give you 5 minutes of breaking this down? So that you are not shielded with darkness. Let somebody tell you the Father is the kid of revelation and God is another one. No, there is nothing like that. You are my children. I will tell you how it is. This is how it is. God, from the beginning of Genesis, was creator till New Testament. He was not Father. Do you permit me to speak further? Even if you don't permit me. My pastor brought me from Lagos. So, anyone in Shalambero? Now, it's been a mystery from beginning. From the days of Abraham, God was not known as Father. In the days of Abraham, he was known as El Shaddai. He was known just by his act. His purpose was never totally encapsulated in a name. The only name that totally encapsulates divine purpose in the midst of man was fatherhood. But from the beginning was hidden to them all until the advent of the kingdom that Christ came to preach. So it was a mystery. That was a mystery that Paul was describing to the Colossians. In fact, in the days of Moses, that he was even going to make a nation of covenant. He told Moses in Exodus chapter 6, he said, your father didn't know me as Jehovah, the Lord. So until Moses, he wasn't even known as Jehovah. It was because he was bringing a national covenant to a people with a geography. And he was going to teach them about his authority. That was why he revealed the name Lord. The master of everything. That's the meaning of Lord. Oh my God. And that was what Jesus inherited as Lord. And that was what the Holy Ghost inherited as Lord. Now the Lord is the Spirit. In this dispensation, the administrator of divine plan. Oh my God. How many of you know that there is a government over the nations of the world that is superior to the one that United Nations has? It is the government of God. And you are part of that administration. You don't respect yourself. Some of you have been called to... Okay, you have never been called to political office. I've been called to political office before. I've been a part of a government. And some of you, if you are called to be commissioner in your state now, you do Thanksgiving. But you have not done Thanksgiving that you are a part. You are a trustee in the administration of earth, of the earth. You. don't know. You are not working in that capacity. As many that come into covenant, whenever God wants to do anything in the earth, he says, if my people, if only my people. So if anything goes wrong, it depends on the attitude of his people. So up to the time of Moses, they didn't even know him as the Father. So I need to summarize it. By the time Jesus came, anytime he stepped into their midst, he began to discuss, my Father that has sent me. That was alien to them. It was the mystery. The mystery of God. That's the mystery of God. And in John chapter 9, verse 17, one day, publicly, give me John 9, 17. I have to quickly deal with this issue. In John chapter 9, verse 17, one day, after he had healed on the Sabbath, and they were still going to say, you were Benny, you think Koja Yeo. On the Sabbath, you healed? That's how powerful religion can be. It's just like somebody had been having very serious problem and was healed on the Sabbath. And am I Jolo? And in verse 17, they said unto the blind man again, what said thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet, he won't tell me. And in verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. Oh, chapter 5, I need chapter 5, no. I need chapter 5. Just chapter 5. Yes, chapter 5. I want chapter 5, not 9. Give me 5. Give me from verse 18. Okay. Then answered verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought more to kill him. Okay, give me from verse 17. From verse 17, sorry. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. So he said, what? Your father? Who is your father? Joseph of Bethany. Then verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his father. And they knew the implication. Any man who has a father has a dimension of oneness with the father. And it's a taboo. So it's a mystery. In the days when these things were written, God being a father was a mystery. So that was what Paul was telling the Colossians. The riches of understanding unto the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Wherein is that mystery? The Father and Christ. Oh, I need time to break and break. The mystery is that God is actually open to us fully as a father. That's the climax of his onoma. When you can receive him as father, all those El Shaddai, everything is encapsulated. Do you understand that when he was teaching us to pray in Matthew 6, and he said, our Father, that's the first way. If you don't perceive him as such, prayer cannot begin. In the New Testament, prayer cannot begin. And he now said, hallowed that name. What's the name? Fatherhood. That's the onoma. You must hallow it. He's bringing us a dimension of God that gives us a complete perception of him. And that's what the kingdom will be built upon. So he said, hallow be thy name. This is the name we want to hallow. What's the name? Father. He gave us a perception of Christ too. What's a Christ? What's the mystery of the Christ? That he is the Son. He opened another another dimension of to mankind, which is sonship. And this is what they were fighting. That if you say you, God is your father, you have become equal with God. And that's where God is bringing us to. He said that day, oh man, and that's the glory we saw. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when he was going in chapter 17, he said, that glory you saw in me, I have given unto them, that they may be one as we are one. There is a dimension of the understanding of the mystery of God in fatherhood and sonship that brings us into oneness into God. So don't celebrate another mystery outside this. There is no mystery that has not been revealed by the Spirit. They sought to kill him. What was it? That he called God. These are issues. Blessed is your height for the ignorance. These are issues. Hey, understanding this make you worth more than $1 billion. Because fatherhood and sonship comes into oneness. What else are you looking for? If they name you the son of Abiola, or Abiola adopts you, the spirit of adoption is the process of making a man a son. And that's what we receive. The spirit of adoption. If Abiola makes you a son, that was when he was alive, not now. Dangote is better. Very much better. The day I met Dangote, I didn't even know. He was in the room then. Then she said, that's Aliko. I said, Aliko, that's Pastor Iron. I said, oh, how are you, Pastor Iron? I said, how are you, sir? When I shook him, I looked at him, I said, Kini Bobo is here to see me. He was wearing just a simple kaftan with an afshi. White kaftan. So the person that introduced us said, Aliko, I'm introducing Asayo because he said he wanted to have a chat with you. And he said, Asayo, let's talk because I'm flying to Abuja now. I said, thank you, sir. We got to the dining and we started talking. Hey. Mwania. You were long. She said, oh, Lee, so don't read me. I can't tell my story. So I said, so my card, sir. He said, okay, my own card, but I think you should have Taye's card because Taye attends to all that I do. I said, okay, Mr. Taye, how are you? Mr. Taye gave me his card, and I kept the two cards. I said, So I was overwhelmed by that. Imagine you, the son of a king, the maker of the heaven and earth. Only be motion better amilati that motimo. Oh, question to Domino Jumo or Molon Mimi or Moba. See, your journey won't begin until you understand that there is royalty in you. Oh, that's for another day. When the riches of the kingdom is in the fact that you understand that you belong to a kingdom where all the subjects are kings. This is riches, though. But if your eyes is not open, you won't know. So he said the riches of the understanding and acknowledgement of the mystery of God. These are mysteries. Open our ear, one more banner. In the kingdom where we are, he is king of kings. His subjects are kings. He has made us unto our God. Hello? You can't even walk in priesthood without understanding of your kingship. The order in today's kingdom is kings and priests. You see, you can't. You can't. The where your journey begins is authority. And you are also in the class of lords. for he is King of kings and Lord of lords. You can't rob with Lord and you are not the Lord. Are you listening to me? I've been a lord in different kedars before, but this one is a lordship. You know what lordship means? That a man acts that go and bring that cult that has been trained. You know what it means for you to say, go and bring somebody's Mercedes Benz? What in number? Why should that one be called in this earth? You get to some places. I understand authority now. One day I walked into Abuja. I was in the minister's lobby. I appealed to form to see him. Then they said, Oga, the chief detail came to me. The chief detail happened to be an Akure boy, so it was easy for me. And he said, Oga, The urgent message of a king, Imomua. So all the people were sitting together at the lobby. The time goes there. Only Mr. Adel, the latter of the president, we knew what to do. Everybody, my law, a me only lobby. Then after 5 minutes, I saw him coming back with the chief detail. Please, who is that? Who is that? I said, it's me, sir. That's me. He said, hey. I didn't get that message. I said, maybe if you go inside. He said, please come. One day thank you. No, my time is up now. I still have 11 minutes, I have 10 minutes. One day I did a small thing for Osun State. And the person that gave me the contact said, go and collect your money in Osun. I said, why not? Go and collect your money in Osun. And they were still owing me. I'll go to see the governor and they say, governor, one day, they are busy. They are good. So one day I went to my hotel. And funny enough, I thought that my hotel was not very far away from. I woke up. Laba roba hasha labiana hasha koba dama haria. I used my leg. I didn't carry a car. What is your packaging thing? Come and learn from me. There is no packaging. The first time I dined with the president, my car was dancing when I was carrying my wife there. My car was not qualified to enter. When we got to the gate, they said, Oga, what are you doing here? Who called you? You get permission? I knew it was my car they were looking at. But when they saw my face, they opened the gate. The glory is here. It moves from the inside. So they said, go inside. So the next time they saw me talking, coming out with the president and my hand in the pocket, yes, yeah, it's okay. All right. I became a man in my own class. My car has not changed. There is something about you and God that is rich, that qualifies you. I know you can't speak very well, but there is something in you that cannot be explained. I have a friend, while I was in the north, is stupendously anointed, but he cannot speak well. But I can't undo his grace. When we go to raw field of evangelism, he will tell you, I pull him from which year. I said, if you want that, you know, go die here. Come out. The guy will come out. Stupid, miraculous experience. But when he's speaking, he say, I carry anointing oil. I put down for head. He put anointing oil. your feet tonight. Pray in the spirit for 3 minutes. Something is happening to you wherever you are. You are coming to realization. You are coming to awakening. Just do it. Pray in the spirit for a while. Spirit leads me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet will ever walk. And my faith will be the strongest in the presence of my Savior. Spirit leads me where my cross is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Commitment to him. revelation of his power and his glory. Amen. 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 You will see. Oh my God. Thank you. Close your eyes, everyone. Just take a decision. Make commitment. Take my will. Take my life. Take everything. That's all I say tonight. And the Lord is saying to me, he wants to give some of you an experience. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now let me speak. Let me speak what the Lord is showing to me right now. The Bible said Jacob found power with God. He said, you have prevailed, for you found power with God. The Lord is saying he wants to bring his power in the mode of Jacob's experience. The Jacob experience is that there is something the power must make up for. The Lord is saying, I want to feel certain things that looks like your disability. As I'm speaking, there is somebody here that has even physical disability, and the power of God is going to come upon you. It will be as if you never had a disability. I'm seeing the Lord say to me, tonight, I want to make my power perfected in weakness. That's the number one thing he wants to do. There's a lady here that is so much of anointing of the Spirit that is coming upon you, and you have some personal physical disability. And the Lord said, as soon as I put my power upon you, it will never be seen anymore that you are certain disability, that you are incapacitated in any way. He said, I will give you what those who have what you don't have can never have. The excellency will be of him. The Lord is saying there are people here who have shortcomings. The Lord is saying to me, there is somebody here, your grade is your shame. Your grade is your shame. But I'll put my power upon you. I'll put my power upon you like I did to you. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Father. Oh my goodness. There is a lady, you have some kind of physical disability. You have some kind of physical disability, but the power of the Spirit is going to make up for it. You are going to be a church recipient of a certain glory that men cannot ignore. There is somebody, the Lord is saying your grave is your shame, but I will accept you like that. I will make out of your life what your CV cannot produce. You say, I shall tell you, your grade is your shame. But I, the Lord, I will put glory upon it. For have I not chosen the weak things of this world, that I may confound the wise? Have I not chosen the ignoble? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. He says, I am putting my glory, I'm putting my power upon you. There are recipients of the power of the kingdom. There are recipients of the glory of the kingdom due to their physical weakness. But you are God's choice. But you are God's choice. That's the number one thing God said, I should tell you. There are people here. And if you know I'm talking about you, let your heart be open. Let your heart be open, because the Lord brings upon you the glory that your natural makeup can never bring. I'm seeing the Lord saying, I am choosing to hang my glory upon the things that has been relegated. I am doing that this hour. Upon the things that have been relegated. and bringing men like Peter again that were said not to be learned, but they took knowledge of them. They took knowledge of them. I am doing that again. I'm bringing my glory upon you. I'm bringing my power upon you. I'm revealing the capacity of the kingdom through you. The kingdom through you. My kingdom will come to you. My power will be revealed through you. My authority, my dominion, my power. Let me call this brother. I meant to speak to you. My time is up, but I quickly have to do that. I have a couple of you that the Lord is putting. Please come. Come. Ya Rabo Shada bi Alabania Kosia Batania Kelia. Robo Shada Minahalia Kosia. Ela Rabina Hasia Kota Frebisa. Le Rabiana. You see, I'm here to confirm your dominion mandate. I'm here to confirm that there is a king in you that must rise and must come to limelight. I'm here to speak about the things that are for you but are beyond you. For eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It's not come to the heart of any man what God has prepared. I'm here to speak about the things that you did not dream of, but that is coming. That you did not dream of, but that the Lord is bringing to you. I'm here to speak about a crown you were not looking for, but came your way when you were looking for other things. I'm here to speak to you like the Saul who was aided by a servant to receive a crown that had waited for him that he didn't see. Because there is a kingship, there is a leadership, there is a crown, there is an authority, there is a revelation of a king that is waiting to be crowned, and you are the king that is waiting to be crowned. For there is going to be an orchestration of men moving you in that place where you are, seeking your own thing, to a place where authority will be given to you to be a name among names, to be a name among names, to be a crown that will be visible, to wear a crown that will be visible. And the Lord said, I have designed you to be crowned, and crowns are visible. Crowns are visible ornament. For that day is clearly coming, where I will put a crown upon you and be a spectacle of my glory about the things you never thought about that I'm bringing your way, about the things you never prayed about that I'm bringing your way, about the things that I planned from the foundation of the world that I'm bringing your way, about the movements of the earth that is happening for your sake, that you may come out visible with the glory that I want to hang upon you. And you shall remember that it is my glory and not yours. Say the Spirit of God. You see, the Lord is saying, I should speak to you. About the fears that lived with you for long. For the Lord owns the space that he occupies. For there is a trend of fear that has incapacitated you. There is a trend of fear that has determined boundaries around you. And the Lord said today, in his own power, he breaks it. For he said today, in his own power, you must give expression to the real life he called you to live. And that the boundaries that the fear has defined must be broken and altered. And the references must be overtaken. For I will do something with your life. I will do a new thing such that will swallow the things you remember. I will do a new thing such that it will swallow the things you remember. For fear has been a boundary between me and you. And here now and now I have decided to take away the boundaries that you have set. By fear, the limits, the barriers, I'm taking it out. For there is more to you, make room for more. For there is more to you, make room for more. Thank you, everlasting Father. Thank you, everlasting Father. everlasting Father. Close your eyes, everybody, as I pray. I don't want to move any further in the midst of the crowd so that we don't take more time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 For every of the witnesses in this auditorium that has a part in my call, that has a part in my tribe, Lord, put oil upon them. Anoint them. Anointing is a way of consecration. And I ask that by the Spirit of the Lord, for how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And that is a glorious experience a lady is having now, because the anointing is coming upon you and you have been limited by a deprivation, but now the anointing is coming upon you that you might be a candidate of glory, the glory that surpasses what your natural stature can acquire, what your mind can carry. That glory is coming upon you right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, let not this hour end this meeting. Let your anointing, let your selection, let your conscious anointing begin to come upon people in their sleep, even as they walk away from here, that every prophetic voice that represents this generation, let your hand begin to touch them now. Now! 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 With the oil with whom I've been anointed, let it be transferred. The grace, the power, the capacity. Let it move across this auditorium. Let it locate men and women. Let it locate them. Let it locate them in the name of Jesus. Let it locate men. Let it locate women. Let it locate boys. Let it locate girls. Do as you will, Holy Spirit divine. Do as you will. Do as you will. Ayaya bata. Touch that lady. Bring that lady. Bring that lady. The power of God. The power of God is on you. Ayaborabasi akada. Ayabarobeli katiana. Ayabrekosita banadia kose. Tamaniando sabatiana. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Don't talk, don't pray. Close your eyes. Let your trumpet rest in this place. Lord, let the trumpet rest. Let it have a place in this place. Let your sound reach the nations from here. Give this community the capacity to host this trumpet. Let sound go to nations from here. Let this trumpet sound. Let it reach forth to nations from here. Let the Teruah go from here to nations. Tune ears. 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 Release utterances. Release utterances. Release utterances. Release utterances. Release utterances. Release utterances. Do as you want with us. Do as you want with us. Let the sound of a minstrel. 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 Let the sound of a minstrel be battered in the bowels of your people. Let the rivers flow. Thank you for helping us tonight. Blessed be your name forever. Blessed be your name forever. Give us experiences we never recover from. Take the glory. Take honor. Take all adoration. Take all adoration. Blessed be your name. Jesus. Mighty name.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.